fans, boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing. It's time for the Daytona 500, and you're on the road with Dana on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us, one of the absolute greatest drivers of all time, Hall of Famer, three-time Cup Series champion, and part of that amazing team at NASCAR on Fox, the one and only DW himself, Darrell Waltrip. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, man, good to be on with you today. I hope you're inside where it's warm.
Well, yes. No, we're fine. Hey, we're Chicagoans. It's part of, you know, we can handle a little bit of cold. It doesn't hurt us. You know, I mean, it's part of kind of like our branding, right? You know, we're cold people. We can take it. So
I know the coldest I ever was in my life was in Chicago. It was 22 below. Freezing.
So then you've experienced it, of course, and you've safely made a wise decision to move to Franklin, Tennessee, where it just doesn't get that cold. So, I mean, it's not necessarily warm weather. It's not hot like Florida, but you're kind of in a temperate climate, right? It never gets too bad.
Well, I always ask people, how many people do you know that have retired and moved north? Not too many that I know of. So anything on the other side of the Ohio River, I try to avoid that. I try to stay on the south side of the Ohio River. It's a little nicer down this way.
Well, here's what's coming up. And I know that the race fan world, everyone is so excited for the Daytona 500 coming up. You're thinking to yourself, I know the listeners are saying, hey, you know, that's the 17th. It's a little ways away. But things are starting on Monday with, you know, Race Hub is starting. And then there's Monster Energy Cup Series practice coming up on the 9th. I mean, so this is all gearing up. You guys, how long does it take from the end of last season for you guys before you start working on the next Daytona 500?
Oh, no. As soon as Homestead was over with and NBC finishes up their half of the year, we immediately get on the phone and we start having conference calls. We have conference calls periodically, but we just had one yesterday, you know, getting everybody on the phone and finding out who's interested in what and who knows what and kind of where we're going to go. We get to Daytona next week, do a lot of planning, got a lot of videos to shoot. A lot of changes, so many changes this year that we don't want to inundate the fans with so many changes that they can't figure out what's going on. So we're kind of breaking it down organization to organization and seeing what they've done with crew chiefs, drivers, sponsors, or whatnot. So when we come on the air, the biggest thing about when we come on the air next week, we're focused on the Butt Shootout, on the Bush Clash. And so, and I'm not even sure. I think that's the name of it this year. You can verify that. But anyway, that's our focus. There'll be cars that'll be out on the track practicing, getting ready for that race. And so that's our focus for the first week. But we'll sprinkle a little, a few tidbits in here and there to get people kind of geared up for what we'll be talking about as we get ready to run the Great American Race on the 17th.
Well, okay, so think about this. And there's always silly season. People are moving around. I think I've done maybe two or three retirement interviews over the last month or so. But now on the broadcast side, as you guys are always kind of fine-tuning things, you've got yourself. I mean, I don't think it gets any better from a resource and experience standpoint, of course, on the fun side. And you've got Jeff Gordon, I mean, one of the all-time greats as well there with you. But you guys are adding some extra people right into the whole thing. You got Jamie McMurray. I know we talked with him. I know Ricky Craven just got added to the team. What does it add when you have drivers that have that are able to come in and add sort of extra insight, I guess, from different eras?
Well, it's just insight. It's people that can kind of open your eyes to things that I always like to call it the blind obvious. When you've done this will be my 19th year of, you know, being in the booth, calling the races. The races themselves are they're pretty much fundamental. You drop the green, you do a little racing, and you got some stage breaks in there. And so it's a little bit different than what I did in my day. But when you bring people in like Ricky Craven or Jamie McMurray or Regan Smith, when you bring those people in, they were in the cars recently. They can relate to things that they're doing to the cars, the technology that's being used, the importance of an engineer and what a car chief does. And so they just give you insight. They just kind of bring you up to speed as about what's going on in the NASCAR world today. I try to take what I know and what these guys bring to the table and bridge what I did and how we did it compared to how they're doing it today and try to give a fan that's an older fan like myself, you know, that they want to know how is sport different. And so I'm constantly trying to tell the fan at home, well, here's how we did it, but here's how they do it now, and whether it's better or worse, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So my role is to, I'm somewhat of a historian.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I'm a little bit wiser because I'm a little bit older and I've kind of been there, done that. And so I feel like even though sometimes I may not come across, I try to be the stabilizing force amongst all these young people.
I love that. You're like the aero package for the show, right? You're the stabilizer.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, if you change any one thing, it changes a lot of things. So we just try to stay consistent. I've always said we try to entertain and inform. We try to be fun. We try to have fun with what we're doing. There's a time for that. There's a time to be serious. But we try to be informative. Well, Larry McReynolds does an incredible job of breaking down the rules and the cars. And we've got great people in the pits with Jamie Little, and Matt Yoakum. And so we're constantly just trying to educate the fan about the rule changes. And remember now, this is confusing to a lot of people. The Daytona 500, the rules will be exactly as they were last year. There is no rule change for Daytona. Now, the Ford guys will have their Mustang. They'll have a new car. But the rules package that we ran at Daytona and we ran at Talladega last year will be the same at Daytona this year. The new rules take effect the week after Daytona when we get to Atlanta. That's when all the aero ducts and different size spoilers and things of that nature will kick in. So you go to Daytona, you know, you kind of look at what happened there last year, what happened at Talladega, and try to draw some comparison between those races to what we think we're going to see this year.
Well, so the rules are going to be the same, but the race itself is a little bit, I mean, it's obviously different. It's as big as it gets. It's the Super Bowl. We've got the football Super Bowl coming up tomorrow in Atlanta, but for NASCAR and for racing, the Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl. And of the 84 Cup Series wins that you had, one of them was a Daytona 500 championship. And so a little bit about it. I mean, it is, and I have attended it and covered it. It's a spectacle, right? It's one of those things where you will run into, you know, presidents of the United States, you know, rock stars, movie stars. You never know who you're going to bump into at the 500. It's an event, right?
Yeah, and here's the deal. We always say this is our Super Bowl, but quite honestly, I get kind of tired of hearing that. You know, the NFL has a Super Bowl. This is the great American race. This race, you know, with the cars and the drivers and the crews and the teams and the sponsors, this is our biggest race of the year. This is our premier race. You win Daytona, you can almost make a career out of a win at Daytona. And so I always think about it when we look at Daytona and everybody says, oh, well, it's our Super Bowl. No, it's not. This is our premier race. It's the great American race. It stands on its own. I know we have to compare it to the Kentucky Derby or the World Series or whatever. I know those are big events as well. But the Daytona, it can stand on its own 2 feet. It's a big event. It's the first event of the year. It's the best of the best. Everybody's fresh and ready to go. New cars, new sponsors, new everything. It's probably the most exciting time of the year to get to Daytona, unveil all these new cars and paint jobs and sponsors and crew chief and driver changes and get to show on the road. It's just an amazing event. And as you said, great entertainment in our pre-race shows. You never know who's going to be down there, what stars, you know, movie stars. You never know what politicians. It's always a who's of who that show up for the Daytona 500.
Well, I'm with you, too, on that same page. And, you know, that's just what they say. But I'm glad that you're kind of recognizing, too, and saying, let's buck the system. It is a great race. It is maybe the crown jewel of the races, but it is one of many great races throughout a very long season. You know, you got your Brickyard 400 that means a ton to the drivers. You got Bristol Night Race. You've got, you know, Talladega. You've got so many different races. And, of course, that big finale that happens at Homestead. I don't know if it's fair. I think I agree with you, DW, to say the Super Bowl. It feels like then, hey, well, it's downhill from there, and it certainly isn't.
Well, back in the day, when I say that, it's not like 100 years ago. It hadn't been that long ago. We referred to what we called the crown jewels, and that was Daytona, Charlotte, and Darlington. That was the big three. And if you could win those three races in a season, you had an extraordinary season. Winston came along, and they threw in the Winston 500 at Talladega. So there were four really premier events back in the day that we focused on. But as time has gone by, every track, every week, they want to have the Daytona 500 is the benchmark. And then everybody else tries to approach and get close to that benchmark, whether it's with parades, golf tournaments, the hauler parades, cars doing burnouts in the middle of town. Everybody has a kind of a way of promoting their own event, but there's no way that you can rival the importance or how big the Daytona 500 is. It is the biggest race we have. It pays the most money. Yeah, it pays the same points as Richmond would, but this is the race that you want to win. If you have won, I don't care how many races you've won, if you don't have a Daytona 500 trophy on your shelf, you're always going to feel like you didn't have a complete career.
Coming up, as Joey Logano, and the season ended on, I mean, I think regardless of what's happening on the business side of racing in NASCAR, I feel like the last couple of years have been some of the most exciting racing and finishes that we've had. There was some, you know, before the stage racing where, you know, it was a foregone conclusion who would win. Some people, purists, you know, would love to go back that, but I love the way that it's all kind of at the end and we've really lucked out in having really top drivers competing for that championship at the end. So you got Joey Logano, who's always been great on the verbal side of talking about, you know, his prowess. Now he's got the street cred as well. How do you see it going for him kind of defending that championship this year and having his first season as a Cup Series champ?
Well, yeah, I think it just shows how unpredictable our sport can be. You know, none of us would have picked Joey Logano to win the championship middle of the year. That team struggled at times. Keselowski, you know, had a couple of three races there where he would look like that he might be a guy that can contend for the championship. But there's always the guys that you almost can say for sure that Kevin Harvick is going to be in there battling for their championship when we get to Homestead. Kyle Busch is going to be in there. Martin Truex is going to be in there. I think sometimes we have to kind of look back at what happened to see how we got to where we – but I think the move that Joey Logano put on Martin Truex at Martinsville to win that Martinsville race and to lock himself into the chase for the championship was a turning point for that team and for him winning the championship. That was a little racetrack, the smallest track we go to, slowest track we go to. But Joey Logano muscled his way around Martin Truex, won that race, and put himself in a position to win the championship. Then he goes to Homestead and had the car to beat. I mean, he just drove off and left them, which was amazing.
It was so great. I mean, I think it was just exciting racing seeing. You're seeing Truex, and it wasn't just a one-shot deal. Sometimes you'll see people win one championship, and then that's just kind of the way it is. It was a magical dream season, but he, you know, contended and was consistent and right there at the end as well. Do you see that staying the same, especially since he's going to Joe Gibbs and they were working together on a lot of the systems anyway? Do you see Truex just continuing and being one of those top-level drivers this year too?
Well, I do, and of course, you know, Truex and Cole Pearn, his crew chief, they had an alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing already for the last couple of years. And so they were getting pretty much everything that all the Gibbs drivers were getting. The difference was they were taking from what they were getting from Gibbs and beating Gibbs with it. And the Gibbs drivers, I'm pretty sure, they didn't like that very much.
Yes.
And so I guess if you can't beat them, you join them or you have them join you. Right. So when Barney Visser announced he was going to shut down the Furniture Row race team, and Martin and Cole Pearn end up over at Gibbs, I think that's a win-win. I think Cole Pearn is one of the best crew chiefs, probably one of the sharpest guys in the garage. Martin's right in his prime, driving his best I've ever seen him drive. And you add that in there with Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch and the guys over there, Eric Jones, and you put Truex in the middle of that. And what Cole Pearn knows, I think that's going to really help Gibbs a lot. I think it could make them the team to beat for the championship.
One of the things that I think is exciting is Stewart Haas Racing has sort of kind of emerged as really one of those great teams. Hendrick for so many years was one of those top teams, and I think that they're there. And you look at what they're doing, I think, as a team, when you look at someone like Arik Almirola, who had, you know, marginal success and it was still, you know, a good drive, but you see that talent come through when you merge, I think, that whole team philosophy plus the equipment, right, that they've got at SHR with him. I mean, he really came on at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we just look at what happens on Sunday and we draw our conclusions based on that. And that's a bad thing. Obviously, how you perform on Sunday and the numbers you put up all through the year, you know, tells you what kind of operation you got. But I would put Stewart Haas and that engineering group, you got to remember something. They're over there running a Formula One car in Formula One with the world's, with all the technology that you could ever imagine being used on those Formula One cars. I'm pretty sure some of that information and some of that technology trickles over to the Cup side as well. I believe the engineering staff and the people they have at Stuart Haas and the drivers they have is why they have been so successful. It's not just any one piece. It's a sum of all the parts. And I believe at Stuart Haas, this past year particularly, and we'll wait and see how the new Mustang works out in 19, but I think Stuart Haas had everybody pretty well blown away just from the technological standpoint.
Well, when it comes to the technological standpoint, let the listeners know we're talking with DW Darrell Waltrip, one of the all-time greats, getting ready to kick off another amazing season, the 19th NASCAR on Fox. And have you got a chance to check out, because you guys always do it on the, you know, on the insight side and the information side and certainly on the fun side, but that new studio, I was talking with Jamie McMurray about that, you have some kind of super state-of-the-art, amazing Jumbotron studio that's going to really, I think, be something exciting for viewers.
I do, too. And as I talk to the people that will be the hub will be done in the studio with that virtual reality set that they're going to have. Our pre-race shows will be done from the studio in Charlotte. I think Daytona, here's the thing about Daytona. Nothing changes at Daytona. The Hollywood Hotel will be there. Chris Myers will be there. All of your usual cast of characters will be at Daytona. But as soon as we leave Daytona, everything changes. We talk about the changes to the cars and the drivers and the rules. Well, the same way in the television industry. Once we leave Daytona, we'll be doing a pre-race show from the studio in Charlotte. We won't have the Hollywood Hotel at the track. I'm not sure what Chris Myers' role will be in the future. But we brought on so many new people that have so much knowledge and are so passionate about this sport. And then you throw in that new set that they're all going to be working out of there in the studio in Charlotte. And I think we're going to take this sport to another level from a production standpoint of view. The racing is great. What we see on Sunday, I mean, I'm like you. I've seen races this year that kept me on the edge of my seat, or this past year. And I'm sure it'll be as good or better with this new rule package. So we have a lot to really get excited about and look forward to.
Everyone is pumped for the 17th, the Daytona 500, the 61st running of America's Great Race. And then also, too, coming up on Monday, you know, is when NASCAR Race Hub starts. And that's Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, and that's on FS1. And before we let you go, a lot of people want to know, tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday on the football side. I know you're a sports fan in general. They want to know a guy who is all about celebration, all about fun and festivity. What is a Darrell Waltrip or a Waltrip family Super Bowl party like? What are you guys going to be doing tomorrow?
Well, we're going over to some friends' house and watch the game with them. They're Patriots fans, and so I guess if I had to pick one or the other, I'd probably like to see Brady win another Super Bowl. I think it's amazing what he's been able to accomplish at his age. And you know, there's another good indication of a team that wasn't that good during season starts, but here they are playing in the biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl. So. And Brady says he's going to play till he's 45. And the way he played the last few weeks, I'd say he could probably accomplish that. So we'll watch the game with some friends, eat some pizza, maybe some guacamole, some dip, and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, get out there, have a great time. And then, of course, coming up right after that, we get right into the NASCAR on Fox season. And coming up, of course, the 17th for the Daytona 500. Darrell, thanks so much for what you're doing. The viewers, the fans, they cannot wait to get this whole thing kicked off. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. But now you've named, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl tomorrow and all these different dates, the 17th for the 500. But don't overlook February the 5th. Don't forget about that day.
All right, I won't.
And I'll leave that with you. You can figure out what that is.
What is it? Is it what's February 5th? Is it Groundhog Day? It is, isn't
it? It's my damn birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, then an early and not belated happy birthday to the greatest. We will send a shout out for your birthday as well, and we'll make you a cake and send you some pictures. Oh, thanks, DW. Right. Talk to you soon.
All right, pal. Anytime.